Good morning, Lalouette, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is Snooze Button. I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. And we started out with some music by the French composer and cellist Auguste Joseph Franchomme. That was his Caprice No. 2 in E minor for solo cello, part of a set of 12 caprices that he wrote, and a recording there with Clay Rude on the cello. And since I've never played any music by Franchomme before here on Snooze Button, I'll tell you a little more about him when we come back after the weather and road information. And we'll listen to one more of his pieces. Right now, though, it is time for the weather and road stuff. Yes, stuff. That's what it is. Starting with the weather, yesterday's low was minus 1 degree. And then we made it all the way up to 15.8 in the afternoon. Currently, the temperature is about 7 degrees. That was a nice find when I got up this morning. My cat appreciated it, too. One of them. Let's see. Environment Canada tells us today we'll have a mixture of sun and cloud becoming cloudy this afternoon with a 60% chance of showers late this afternoon. Wind from the north at 20 kilometers per hour becoming south at 20 late in the afternoon. A high today of 13. UV index is at 4, which is moderate. Tonight, cloudy with a 60% chance of showers. Wind from the south at 20 kilometers per hour and a low tonight, again, of 7. On Tuesday, cloudy with a 40% chance of showers in the morning and afternoon, then cloudy periods. Wind from the south at 30 and a high of 13. On Wednesday, things start to heat up a little bit. A mixture of sun and cloud, a low of plus 5, a high predicted that day of 17. Thursday, sunny with a low of plus 4, a high predicted of 19. And Friday, a mixture of sun and cloud, a low of 7, and once again a high of 19. There's a 20 showing up a couple of days after that, but that could all change, so we won't tempt fate by looking too far ahead. Right now in Clinton, the temperature is minus 4 and sunny. Hope is at 8 degrees and sunny. Kamloops is 0 and partly cloudy. Pemberton is also at 0, and in Vancouver it's 8 and cloudy. So really, we're in kind of a sweet spot, at least temperature-wise here. Turning to the highways, I only have two notes. Both of them are for Highway 1, and this first one affects eastbound traffic only. There's construction 18 kilometers east of Spence's Bridge, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily through the 16th of April. Single lane alternating traffic there. And there's also paving 25 kilometers east of Spence's Bridge, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. That will carry on through April the 24th, and there's single lane alternating traffic there with the possibility of up to 20 minutes delay. And that's it for the weather and roads. Music for the solo cello has been finding its way into my CD player at home quite a bit, and I just wanted to branch out a little bit. Mostly, a lot of it, at any rate, has been the Bach suites for solo cello, and one could spend a lifetime studying those works even just as a listener, let alone as a player, and never get tired of them. But I wanted to hear a little bit of other music for solo cello. Particularly, I wanted to hear some from the Romantic period. Quite a lot for solo cello from the 20th century. But during the Romantic period, not that much for the solo, for the cello all by itself. So, Auguste Joseph Franchomme, born in 1808, died in 1884. It's fair to say that he was really better known as a cellist during his lifetime than as a composer, per se. Most of his music that he composed was involving the cello in one form or another, but extremely well known in his time and received the dedications of many works for cello and or other instruments. Formed a well-known quartet, not a string quartet, but I believe a piano quartet with a few other players, and they were really one of the first professional quartets like that to form up. Most chamber music making was done really on an amateur basis or in the home or in small salons. And so for professionals to form a sort of stable group that always performed together, that was kind of remarkable. Franchomme was a friend of many of the composers of the period, most notably including Frédéric Chopin. And he was the dedicatee, I believe, of all of Chopin's works for cello and piano, including the absolutely wonderful sonata in G minor. And the two of them performed that work together in what I think was the last public concert that Chopin ever gave. Anyway, he wrote 12 of these caprices. There's also 12 etudes. Both of them, both sets included on this particular CD. We'll turn now to the Caprice in C major, the one that comes right after the one we heard before. In this music, Frank Ohm is not imitating, he was inspired by Niccolo Paganini, who of course wrote a famous set of 24 caprices for solo violin. But where Paganini, his music requires an assault on the instrument. It's really a war between the violinist and the violin. This music is not quite, doesn't go that far, not as histrionic. But the overall sense of style in these pieces, especially the development of a repeating pattern like we heard in that first caprice, is something that Frank Ohm definitely adopted from the Paganini caprices. Anyway, here's caprice number 3 in C major, and we hear once again Clay Rude on the cello. That was music by Auguste Frank Ohm, a French cellist and composer. We heard the Caprice number 3 in C major, a recording by Clay Rude on the cello. All right, let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lillooet. Of course, around 9 o'clock, I'll be putting on Democracy Now, as always. Later, around 10 o'clock, we'll switch things up to Studio 1 in Lillooet Secondary School, and at various points during the day, you can hear broadcasters from there. Then we'll switch back down here, and this evening it's Deconstructing Dinner from 7 until 8 p.m. That's the program that comes to us from Kootenai Co-op Radio in Nelson, hosted and produced by John Steinman, who came here and did a workshop for us at Radio Lillooet about documentary production. We haven't done a lot of documentary production since then, although we did have some people working here at various times who did. And at any rate, that's a very popular program, Deconstructing Dinner, about the socio-political and, well, the socio-political ramifications of food production. It's mostly string music here this morning on Snooze Button. Later on, we've got part of a violin concerto and a little bit more violin music to finish up with. And these next pieces that we're going to listen to, while not exclusively string music, are string heavy, let's put it that way. And we're going to hear one of the symphonies by Giovanni Battista Sammartini, an Italian composer born in 1700, died in 1775. I kept having trouble with Sammartini when I was trying to think of his complete name. I couldn't really figure out what his first name was. I knew that it started with a G, and so it could have been Giovanni or Giuseppe or several other things. But when I checked things out online, I discovered that the reason for my confusion was that there were two Sammartinis, brothers, Giovanni Battista, who we'll hear, and his brother Giuseppe, and both of them were Italian composers right around the same time. Giovanni Battista Sammartini, a little bit unusual among Italian composers of the time in that he concentrated, not exclusively, but very largely, more on instrumental music than on vocal music like opera or church music. He did write several operas, four or five, I believe, and a number of church works, but he wrote something like 67 symphonies and 50 or so quartets, chamber works, quite a lot of instrumental music. And being born in 1700, that's 15 makes him 15 years younger than Bach. He really was kind of one of those composers that was spanning the period between the end of the Baroque period and the beginning of the Classical period. So his music is kind of in a no man's land there, along with a few others of the time, like Bach's son, Carl Philipp Emanuel. But there are elements in this. For the most part, it leads towards the Classical period. The music sounds much more like music by lesser Classical composers than it does by Baroque composers. Not yet on the same scale of proportion as one finds in the works of Haydn and certainly in Mozart. Most of these symphonies are in this particular recording, at any rate, are in three movements, fairly modestly scored. Sounds like strings, trumpets and oboes, I believe. And of course there's a harpsichord providing the continuo accompaniment as well. So I guess we should just go ahead and listen to one of the symphonies. We're going to listen to the symphony in C minor. It's a pretty short work. I think comes in a little less than 9 minutes. And is in three movements. Allegro, fast. Affettuoso, affected. Not in a superficial or a faking it sense of affected, but being moved, let's put it that way. And then a concluding allegro as well. This is a recording by the Aradia Chamber Ensemble, who work out of Toronto and conducted by Kevin Mallon. Thank you. That was music by Giovanni Battista Sammartini. We heard a symphony in C minor. I think there's six symphonies on this particular CD with the Aradia Ensemble conducted by Kevin Mallon. Most of them fairly early works by Sammartini. I'd be very curious to hear some of the later symphonies. He did write 67 or so, so it'd be nice to get into some of those later ones. And who knows, maybe they'll put out another disc. At any rate, a very really tight playing ensemble, the Aradia Ensemble. I mean tight in a good way, rhythmically tight. And sorry, there weren't any trumpets in that symphony. I was thinking of a different one. I think there were oboes, but otherwise mostly strings. All right, time for some public service announcements. We'll start with the pool schedule for today. The early bird swim is just wrapping up in about 5 minutes, but there's lane swimming from 11:30 a.m. till 1 p.m. Junior Lifeguard Club is 5 until 6 p.m. Everyone welcome, 6 until 7:30. And then another lane swim from 7:30 until 8:30 p.m. this evening. And some workshops regarding health that are going on during this month and into May at the Friendship Center. There's one on health and nutrition with Carol Vanderwolf. That starts on April the 20th, and it runs also on the 22nd, 27th, 29th, and May 5 and 6. That's from 5 until 6:30 p.m. at the Friendship Center. That's sponsored by the Diabetes Program. And then there are also a series of workshops on mobility and diabetes. The first one was last week on the 8th. But there's another one, I guess probably part two of a series, on the 15th, the 22nd, and then on May 13, 20, and 27. Those are in the morning, 10 to 11:30 a.m., also at the Friendship Center and also sponsored by the Diabetes Program. I don't have a contact number for information on these, and it doesn't say if there's any cost. I think it would have said if there was. But if you'd like to know more about these workshops, I'd urge you to get in touch with the Friendship Center, and they could probably answer your questions or direct you to the people who are putting on the programs. And the Lillooet Naturalist Society has a number of events coming up over the next few months. And opportunities for people who want to help out with things, some of them quite fun things. Kids, families, and adults are all welcome. There's a nursery now. If you haven't been to the lower spawning channels in a while, you would have had to have not been there for a couple of years. But there's a nursery down there, and the nursery is open for volunteers every morning over the next 2 weeks. I think that is starting today, I believe. Just drop by and you can learn more about native plants while potting some plants and helping to get the nursery ready for another season. And the plants are growing well both in the greenhouse and outside. You can show up anytime from 9 a.m. until noon. And Friday, April the 9th. Oh, sorry, that's already done. Saturday, April the 17th, Riverside Picnic and Plant Cuttings. Enjoy the early spring by the river and help put some cuttings in the ground. Come see how last year's plants are growing and bring a bag lunch. That is at the BC Hydro Powerhouse Restoration Site, also known as Shi'atlekwa. And that is this coming Saturday, April the 17th, 10:30 until 12:30. And I think that's as far as we'll take those right now. There's lots more coming up over the summer. One more event that the Naturalist Society is hosting very soon. And that will be Lillooet's first annual wildflower count. That's taking place on April the 25th. I can't remember if that's a Saturday or a Sunday, but it's on a weekend. You're invited to join your fellow wildflower and nature enthusiasts as we attempt to record the different species of flowers that we have in bloom on April the 25th in and around the area surrounding Lillooet. Our desire is to archive the results of our work and compare with other results that we hope to continue compiling each year. As this is the first year hosting such an event, we hope it'll be a family fun event filled with learning for all who are involved. Once again, that's April the 25th at 10 a.m. Meeting place for that is the Lillooet Library parking lot behind the rec center. And the duration of the event, up to 4 hours, presumably not exceeding. You don't need anything to participate, but we encourage you to bring the following: a digital camera for species identification, rain jacket and warm clothes, depending on the weather, of course, and you can stay tuned to Snooze Button to find out what that will be. Bring yourself some water, of course, a snack, and if you have one, a local wildflower field guide. I'm stuck in wildfires already, and we're not there yet. GPS, if you happen to have one, that could be useful for locating, after the fact, locating difficult or rare species. And participants are asked to carpool to the respective locations that they will be assigned. And people will be paired up with, if you don't know your flowers that well, you'll be paired up with someone who does, hopefully. I think I better start studying very soon. Anyway, that's all coming up April 25th, starting at 10 a.m. Meet at the Lillooet Library parking lot. And if you have more questions about this, please get in touch with Wayne Robinson, 256-7660. And coming soon is the annual general meeting for the Lillooet Camelsfoot TV and Radio Association. They are, of course, Radio Lillooet's governing body, and also bring three TV stations into the valley here that you can pick up without cable or satellite, just with a TV antenna. Those three stations, to be clear, TV stations are CBC, Global, and the Knowledge Network, if memory serves correctly. That's not always an easy thing to do for a lot of different reasons, and there are changes coming within Canada's broadcast regulations and such. Of course, as we all know, digital TV is coming down the pipe in a few years, and that could affect things. At any rate, if you'd like to learn more about this or about the radio, please come to the annual general meeting. Once again, that's Saturday, April the 24th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and it's in room 201 at the Rec Center. Everyone is welcome. And finally, I just want to mention, oh, I forgot what I was going to do here. So let's, we'll turn up the volume on the Eagle Cam in Sydney, BC. You can get a little bit of the birds down there. I should report the remaining eagle egg hatched on either late Friday or sometime on Saturday. I didn't check on Saturday, but when I came in yesterday, I learned that, in fact, the eagle had hatched. And just a few minutes ago, before I started talking, I switched on the Eagle Cam, and the parent that was currently sitting on the nest warming the chick stood up, and there was the chick sticking its head up and waving it around and kind of bobbing it, looking confused by the world. Fair enough. At any rate, if you haven't been to see the Eagle Cam, you can get there by going to cbc.ca/bc and scroll down towards the bottom of the page, and you'll see a little picture of the eagle's nest, and just click on that. It will take you to the Eagle Cam. Sorry, I got sidetracked, but the final public service announcement I wanted to bring is just to remind you that we are in tick season now. I have a lot of information here about ticks, but I'm not going to give it to you right now over the air. If you would like to learn more about ticks, go to www.healthlinkbc.ca, and you can find lots of stuff there. You'll probably have to search an index and then look for ticks, but they've got a lot of valuable information there. All right, we will turn down the sounds from Sydney, and we're going to listen now to the second and third movements of Violin Concerto No. 2 by Max Bruch. Bruch, let's see, born in 1838, so that makes him, if I recall correctly, 5 years younger than Johannes Brahms. I think that's about right. Really, those 5 years, it's not so much the fact that he was 5 years younger than Brahms, it's the fact that he lived more than 20 years longer than Brahms that has kind of thrown Bruch into the shadows. Really sort of a second-rank composer from the 19th century. His music was very conservative, largely in the style of Brahms. It's not always quite as memorable, but sticking very closely to the sort of middle 19th century European German Romantic tradition, not following the path of the more progressive German composers like Liszt and more especially Wagner. Consequently, by the time that World War I broke out, Bruch's music was pretty much out of style and considered to be very much behind the times. And by the time of his death, largely forgotten as music was moving into much wilder and stranger territory by that time. His first violin concerto was a huge success and remains so. It's very popular with violinists and audiences, but he wrote two more, as well as a couple of other large works for violin and orchestra. One of them, the Scottish Fantasy, has also become popular. The Violin Concerto No. 2 is sort of the dark horse of the concertos by Bruch. never really established much of a reputation. A lot of writers have spoken about its weaknesses, and I can understand sort of where they're coming from, but at the same time, when I listen to it, I find myself quite convinced by it. It's in an unusual structure in that it starts out with, it begins with a slow movement, and Brahms, who was a quasi-friend and supporter of Max Bruch, wrote rather negatively about this in a letter to his publisher, Simrock. He said, normal people cannot endure it. Let us hope that it will not be necessary to pass a law to prevent an adagio from ever again being written as a first movement. We don't have time to listen to that first movement adagio, but we'll start with the second movement, which is called a recitative and has the violinist kind of imitating something of a vocal style, declaiming and histrionic. And then that recitative moves in smoothly into the concluding allegro, which has a wonderful sort of swinging, bouncy main theme. And despite what the many critics and musicologists have written about this concerto, I find the rather simple, or simplistic, we should even say, thematic material of this third movement, I found it to be instantly memorable the first time I heard it, and so I've always had something of a soft spot for this particular piece. We'll listen to a recording with the great Italian violinist Salvatore Accardo, one of those guys who goes about his business fairly quietly without a lot of media fanfare or anything. He's never been a superstar, but he's always been considered to be just one of the best violinists out there. 69 years old this year and still going strong as far as I know. So let's hear him with the Gewandhaus Orchestra of Leipzig, and the conductor here is Kurt Masur in music by Max Bruch.
Thank you.
That was music by Max Bruch. We heard the second and third movements of his violin concerto number 2 in D minor. That was a recording with violinist Salvatore Accardo, and he was performing with the Leipzig Gewandhaus Orchestra, and the conductor was Kurt Mazur. And yes, I still enjoy that piece. And it was kind of fun. I got to watch the score on the computer screen as it was going by, thanks to the wonders of the interweb, as some people are now calling it. All right, just a couple of minutes left before Democracy Now. I actually wanted to play some viola music at this point, but when I was looking through my CD collection yesterday, I realized how woefully ill-represented the viola as a solo instrument was in my collection. So I'll have to deal with that, have an accident of some kind on iTunes later this week. But in this time remaining, I want to correct a little error that I heard yesterday on CBC Radio. CBC Radio 1, for the most part, I'm something of a fan, though an occasionally complaining fan, as many of us are. There's a program on early in the mornings on weekends, on Saturday and Sunday mornings, and the host was playing music by Fritz Kreisler. And she said she was going to play some of the pieces that Fritz Kreisler wrote and passed off as being by Baroque and by composers from the Baroque and early classical periods. Which Kreisler himself composed, but he kept that a secret until the 1930s when he, I think, was pretty much forced into revealing it. And when he did reveal this, the public was delighted, but the critics who and musicologists who had been fooled all along were quite chagrined by the whole event. Anyway, the host of this program said she was going to play one or two of those pieces, and then she proceeded to play a piece that, as far as I know, Kreisler always acknowledged his authorship of. So I thought we should correct that. And with all due respect to the host, who I think on the whole does a pretty good job, just classical music isn't her first field of study. So we're going to listen to one of these faux Baroque, or in this case faux classical compositions by Fritz Kreisler, a preghiera, or prayer, in the style of Martini. And I'm sorry, I have no idea who Martini is. I guess if you want preghiera in the style of A. Martini. But it's a lovely little piece and one of the many pieces that Kreisler wrote to use himself as encores in his concerts. So we'll listen to a recording with Itzhak Perelman on the violin, and the pianist here is Samuel Sanders. Oops, slight technical difficulty there. The first note of the next piece was creeping in. We just heard Preghiera, Prayer, in the style of Martini, music by Fritz Kreisler, a recording with Itzhak Perelman on the violin, Samuel Sanders on the piano, and just a lovely lyrical way to finish up our Monday. All right, Democracy Now! Is coming up in just a moment. Therefore, I remind you, as always, the views presented on the following program do not represent those of Radio Lillooet or of the Lillooet Camel's Foot TV and Radio Association. That's it for me. I will be back tomorrow morning with another edition of Snooze Button, perhaps viola music in hand. We'll see. In the meantime, I'll say thank you very much for listening and have yourselves a wonderful day.